Now, for our today's scripture reading, Debbie Carroll is going to be reading the scripture for us this morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and to listen to what I say. Indeed, these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on earth below, blood and fire and a smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you, Debbie, for jumping into that list of those difficult to pronounce names that come around every time this year. Debbie, I feel like actually Debbie's had this reading before. So thank you for jumping into those names. So as we've talked about, this is Pentecost Sunday. This is one of those great Sundays, one of the great liturgical celebrations of the church year, right? Christmas, then Easter, and now Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a Greek word that simply means 50 or 50th. And as you may have gathered from the opening verse of our reading this morning, Pentecost was already a special day marked on the calendar before these strange happenings on this particular Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost simply referred to the festival celebrated 50 days after the Passover. Or another name for it was the Feast of Weeks, or the Day of First Fruits. It was a time marked out in the Jewish calendar to celebrate and praise God for the harvest. And it also began to have a connection with other parts of Israel's history of the people of God. It began to have a connection, for example, with God's covenant with Noah, So it already was a big celebration. And so if you were Jewish, wherever you lived, Jerusalem was the place to be for Pentecost. But on this particular Pentecost, something else happened. The disciples of Jesus are again together there in a room. Just 7 weeks ago, they were huddled together in another room, huddled fearful and worried and confused and unsure, scared. When suddenly, on that day, the news that Jesus, their rabbi, their friend, and their Lord that had been betrayed and denied, arrested, crucified, and buried in a tomb, leaving them anxious and distraught and afraid, now locked away inside the safety of those four walls. It was just 7 weeks ago that the news that changed everything, that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was raised, that death had been defeated. It was just 7 weeks ago that news broke into that room where they were. And now 7 weeks later, they find themselves again in a room. Circumstances have changed. They've not just heard the news that Jesus is risen, but they've met the risen Jesus. They've spent time with him. And in fact, it wasn't all that long ago that they had witnessed his ascension after receiving word that they were to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit after Jesus said he was going to ascend, and then they were to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so here they are, in this room, waiting. No doubt with some questions, no doubt with some wondering of what exactly was going to happen, what it was going to be like, how would they know when it happened, what all was going to happen, what exactly the future was going to look like once it happened. But also they were probably not quite as fearful as that time in that room 7 weeks ago. The news of the risen Jesus, their encounters and experience with him have assured them, even with all of those remaining unanswered questions and those unknown specifics, their experiences and encounters with the risen Jesus have assured them that yes, they do have a calling and a future. For the first thing that they do after Jesus ascends, this is in Acts chapter 1, the first thing they do after Jesus ascends and they return to Jerusalem and up into the room is they choose a replacement for Judas. They fill out their number again to 12. Right? You may not know exactly what's going to come in the future, exactly what it's going to be like or when it's going to happen, but you don't do something like that unless you've seen and been convinced that, yes, you do have a future. So they fill out their number again to 12. And now there they are, waiting inside those four walls. And outside, the Pentecost celebration has really gotten going. Right? There are crowds out in the streets and markets, having come from all over the known world. You can imagine the sights and the sounds and the smells that are going on out there. All sorts of languages are being spoken and the smell of equally diverse food being prepared and eaten. And that's when it happens. Not out there, but inside. The entire house begins to shake. And it's filled with something like the sound of a violent rushing wind. Right? This is not a comfortable evening breeze. This is gale force winds, the kind that come with cell phone emergency alerts that tell you, you know, you really should have boarded up the windows and secured the patio furniture, but whether you did or not, it's too late for that now. So all you can do now is you better take cover and go huddle together in your basement. It's that kind of wind that shows up, but that's not all. Because if the house shaking better duck and cover wind wasn't enough, there's fire. Fire! Or at least something like fire, right? Divided tongues of something very fire-like, whatever that means. These divided fire-like tongues, they're all around, and they're all around them, and it's among them, and then a tongue of fire jumps on of each and every one. Out of control, something like fire and gale force winds, right? So much for decently in order. and so much for the inside faith of these faithful people. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And so now, suddenly, the private inside the four walls and the public outside the four walls, well, things are getting all blended together, right? Things are getting very public very quickly. 7 weeks ago, we had a strange, or at least strange for us Easter, didn't we? An Easter where we all had to trust and hopefully experience the good news that Jesus has risen, that Jesus is Lord over all life and death alike and everything in between. Jesus is Lord and all the hope and promise that comes with that. We had to receive it not in the things we're used to, the victorious unison shouts of He is risen and the soaring choral arrangements and anthems of and all our best Easter pomp and circumstance together, but we had to receive it as people inside our own four walls, unsure and uncertain, worried and anxious about all that's going on. We too, more like those first disciples on that first Easter morning than we ever had before, had to receive the good news of the risen Jesus breaking into our walls. And now, 7 weeks later, as things have both changed and not changed, we are in our own rooms on this Pentecost Sunday, in a very different place, I imagine, than 7 weeks ago, and yet also at the same time, still in those places of what's next, those questions. What does the future hold? When will things change? How will they change? What will it be like when they change? For many of us, and I know this because I'm one of them, We long to be able to gather here again, together, inside the walls of this space, to celebrate and worship and do the things of the gathered community of faith. And that is a good thing to want. And we rightly grieve not being able to do that. And we rightly explore and plan and discern how and when we might be able to do this again. But, what a waste if we don't also ask ourselves, if we don't also listen and look for, if we don't also explore and plan and discern how the Spirit might be showing up, not just to speak good news, gospel promises that break into our four walls, wherever those four walls happen to be, but how the Spirit might be showing up to break us out of those same four walls. On that Pentecost day, all those years ago, the Spirit showed up and broke the church out of the walls inside of which they had been waiting. And here today, in 2020, what if the same Spirit is likewise showing up to break us out of our four walls? And in fact, right, in many ways, that's what the church has already had to do. And let me be clear here, because I don't want any misunderstanding on this point. I am categorically not saying that God sent this virus, that God sent this pandemic so that we could learn something or grow as the church or whatever. I'm not saying that. And those sorts of thorny, difficult questions of God's goodness and providence and power in the midst of tragedy, that's a needed conversation and something to wrestle with and think through. But We're not going to do that this morning. That's not where we're going with this. What I am saying about this morning is no, we don't have all the answers of why. We don't have to have all those answers to that why question to know that we ought to pay attention to how the Spirit might be asking and leading us to respond. Whatever the reason, whatever the cause, however circumstance and luck and fate and God's providence all work in together, however that is playing out in this, we don't need to know that to know that we ought to pay attention to how the Spirit might be asking and leading us to respond. In fact, the reality is that on this Pentecost, 2020, we are having no other choice but to listen and watch for ways that the Spirit is showing up to break us out of four walls. A year and a half ago, we did a series on the great ends of the church, which is a phrase that is how our denomination expresses our inherited understanding of the calling of the church, our reason for existing, right? Expressed in six goals, six great ends or purposes. And they are the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the promotion of social righteousness, and the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. And we explored all of these in greater detail back in the fall of 2018. It was a sermon series. If you want to go back and refresh your memory, it was a sermon series called What in the World Are We Doing Here? You can find it on our sermon audio archives on our website. You can go back and listen to get in deeper to each of those great ends. Also, this past fall, we did a series called Who We Are as we explored our church mission statement. And I know you all remember that statement, and so right now, as I'm going to say it here to remind us, but I expect that in homes all over our community right now, right, you'll just be reciting it with me because you've taken it to heart. Our church mission statement is that we are a Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace as we worship God, grow in faith, and serve one another. And I bring these up now because here's the reality. The circumstances in which we now live, the circumstances of the coronavirus, the circumstances of this global pandemic have changed a lot of what we do and how we do it. They've changed a lot of even what we can do and what we can't do, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But what has not changed, friends, what has not changed is the mission and the calling of the church. We are still called to proclaim the good news of Jesus for the salvation of the world, of humankind. We are still called to provide for the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. We are still called to maintain, to call and invite ourselves and one another and everyone into good and right worship of God. We are still called to proclaim the truths of God. We are still called to promote righteousness and justice in our societies, to care for the vulnerable and to speak out against injustice. And we are still called as a community, together or scattered. We are still called in the ways that we are a community of faith, to exhibit, to embody the kingdom of heaven, to live out that prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who we are called to be, Calvin Church family, is still a Christ-centered community, welcoming all in hope and grace as we worship God, grow in faith, and serve one another. Pandemic or not, able to show up to a particular building or not, that has not changed. And so as we live in the reality, the reality, friends, that it may yet be a while before any of us can gather together for worship or a Bible study all together in the same room, that the place of welcome may not be at that church door for a while. That it may be a while before we are able to care and support one another and those in our communities in the specific ways that we're used to. Or that this pandemic is exposing perhaps what we should have seen all along, but nonetheless exposing broader issues of injustice in our communities and our societies, and showing us new ways to serve one another, to expand the notion of welcoming all in hope and grace, not ultimately welcoming into a building, into a different set of four walls. That's never been what it's been about. It was just easy to feel like that sometimes. But welcoming into the grand story of salvation and redemption, hope and promise, love and grace, new life and new creation that God has been telling and inviting us all into. That is something walls could never contain. All of these things that we are called to be and to express, to do, to enact, to embody, have not changed. But the reality is that in many cases, the ways we are used to doing them, to expressing them, the boxes, the rooms that we have put them in, sometimes very literally, are just not possible now. And it might be a while before any of us can come back to that, and it absolutely, definitely will be a long while before all of us are able to. And so the question, the challenge, and the promise, mind you, the question, challenge, and promise for us is that we have no choice but to watch, to look and listen for where the Spirit is showing up and breaking in to break us out. What might it need to look like to proclaim the good news of Jesus to a world hurting and reeling and grieving such loss of life and livelihoods, and hopes and plans and dreams, and living in such uncertainty, and even certainly in our own society, living in such division and antagonism toward one another? What might it look like to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in those circumstances? What might it begin to look like to provide for the spiritual, for the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God? What might it look like to maintain and invite one another and everyone into the worship of God and to engage in practices of discipline, of discipleship? And all of these when we literally can't show up in the same four walls that we're used to. Or even when some of us maybe can, but others can't or shouldn't. What are the new avenues needed to counter not just the effects, but the causes of injustice that we see more clearly now because of this pandemic? And how might the kingdom of heaven need to be exhibited in times and places and circumstances such as these? These are the questions that on this Pentecost Sunday 2020, the Spirit is inviting us to wrestle with, to discern, to prayerfully consider, so that we might follow the Spirit as the Spirit breaks us out of four walls. Could it be, friends, could it be that there is a rushing wind of the Spirit to be heard, that there is the heat and light of the Spirit to be felt and seen even in our time right now. This, family, this is the challenge of Pentecost for us today. To follow when we are called into something different and something new, to look for and discern the ways God shows up, not just to speak good news into our rooms and walls, but to break us out of them. Not because they are bad in and of themselves, but simply because that's what the Spirit does. That is our Pentecost challenge. But it is also our promise. That is the challenge. This is also our promise that God has declared that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. And before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The promise, family, is that God is at work in and through youngest among us all the way to the oldest, men and women, young and old, rich and poor alike, and that come what may, the good and the bad, the strange and the confusing, and even the disconcerting alike, God is at work. The Spirit is at work guiding and leading. And the final word is God's salvation and redemption of all things. And that, family, that is something no room, no four walls could ever even hope to contain. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, that much like our Easter Sunday 7 weeks ago, is strange and different and not at all what we would have chosen, may we know that the same Spirit that showed up all those years ago on that one Pentecost day, the same Spirit, mind you, that had also pushed and pressed and moved over the chaotic walls of creation, the same Spirit that spoke through the prophets, the same Spirit that tore open the heavens at Jesus' baptism and drove him into the wilderness, the same Spirit that was at work in and through Jesus as he didn't just preach about the kingdom of God, but embodied and fulfilled it. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Family, may we be sure to look and listen and to follow out and in to all the newness of God's calling for us, for this is the very Spirit of God, the very same. This is the very Spirit of God that breaks in to break us out into the wider, fuller, more challenging, yes, certainly, but also more glorious promises of God. This is who we are called to be. It's the Pentecost challenge and promise for us that the Spirit, the same Spirit, breaks in to break us out. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia, friends. Let us sing. Come, O Spirit.